Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell with ESPN, and we are here on Thursday, October 25th, 2018. We are almost halfway through the 2018 NFL season. And on today's show, we talked about some football earlier in the week. We're going to talk about some fantasy football here on Thursday. And joining me to do that, in my opinion, this is the person who is the fantasy expert at ESPN. It's Mike Clay.
Well, I got to go Matthew Berry. I mean,
I'm not familiar with him.
He's a newcomer, young guy, working his way up the ranks. Not Matt Berry, the Sports Center anchor. Matthew Berry, the fantasy anchor. See, that's why. Yeah, that's why you were so confused.
Of course.
Yeah. We can
contribute.
But I can pretend. Sometimes I pretend in my dreams I'm the top guy, you know, so.
In my mind, I appreciate Matthew Berry, of course, but premier fantasy mind at ESPN is Mike Clay, who's joining me today. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. And by the way, Matthew, I'm a little envious of. He is at Disney World right now while we're doing this. He is walking around the parks on rides. So he's having it was his daughter's birthday. So he's down there. So I'm filling in on the fantasy podcast these next 2 days. And yeah, he's off, on roller coasters. So.
I don't know if people know this, but as we're both ESPN employees, we get free passes to Disney.
Yes. Yes. I go every year and I love it and I cannot wait to get back.
It is the best perk about working here. Cafeteria number two. Solid.
That's pretty good.
Two.
You know what they had? I think we might have exchanged something on Twitter about this the other week. They had two. It was like sugar cookies, and there was some kind of cream, like almost like oatmeal pie cream, but something else. It was like butter or cream or something like that. And it was amazing. They always have creations like that down there. It's amazing. It was so good.
Sounds great. Almost as good as Disney, if you ask me. But
yeah, pretty close.
With Matthew Berry away from the Bristol campus, you are the default king of fantasy coverage here at ESPN. We have a lot to talk about. We had you on maybe right as the year started, talking some fantasy stuff. And so we talked about obviously some buy low, some sell high guys at the time. I feel like, you know, heading into the year, we have some more of that today. Let's talk about first here on the show. We're gonna talk about some guys who you might want to acquire as we get into sort of the second half of the fantasy football regular season. And I think there are some guys who maybe we're starting here as on an obvious fit, but with Bilal Powell injured, of course, he is done for the year, has a career-threatening neck injury, very sadly. That Jets backfield is certainly in question. Isaiah Crowell's had a couple big games, but he also has really struggled in other games, had some truly awful lines in some other games, and is not 100% himself. So who are you looking at as sort of a logical add there to start this?
Yeah, and by the way, just quickly on Powell, I mean, hopefully he gets right and back on the field. Is similar injury to Quincy Enunwa, who did come back, so hopefully he does. He's going on 30, but, you know, Powell's going to, like, sign with New England and have, like, 212 touches next year. You know that's coming, right? Like, just a perfect fit as the three in that Patriots backfield. But anyway, with Powell out, Crowell there, they have Trenton Cannon, who they took in the sixth round this year, kind of a speedy change of pace back. He'll get some work here this week, but then it should be Eli McGuire. And you may recall back to the offseason during the preseason and training camp, he was getting a lot of hype. Their coaching, I believe it was their running backs coach, said there's a lot of LaDainian Tomlinson qualities here, which may be a stretch, but in terms of how they want to use him, that's who he compared him to. So McGuire is, you know, not a guy necessarily you're buying low on, but a guy that could be on waivers. I know I scooped him up in a lot of leagues this week. He was a late round pick last year. Wasn't too explosive as a rusher, but was as a receiver, almost 10.5 yards per reception. So, you know, they like him a lot, and Bilal Powell was handling 42% of the carries, 8% of the targets, and was a top 35 fantasy running back. So don't be surprised at all if in PPR leagues, McGuire's a top 25, maybe top 30 running back, if not more, going forward. And he's one injury away, by the way, from clear lead back duties if Crowell goes down. So he's a guy out there you can get for free right now. Scoop him up.
Yeah, I mean, Cannon had, one big catch in the game last week, but that was pretty much it in terms of his workload. I mean, you figure he's going to have some opportunities this week, but McGuire seems like a guy they really are committed to as sort of might be the long-term back there, or at least depending on what happens this offseason with the Jets.
Yeah, probably. I think probably a two or a committee guy. I didn't really love him coming in, but you know, as we've learned with like Aaron Jones the past couple of weeks, what we think and what the coach thinks isn't always, what the coaches think isn't always the same. And they seem to love McGuire. And if they give him a 15 touches a game, that's going to be a fantasy starter each and every week. There was talk Powell might get cut in the offseason because of McGuire, but then he got hurt and he's missed half the season, so Powell stuck around. So
if you could give the fantasy community one gift over the final second half of the season, would it be to give Aaron Jones a guaranteed 15, 20 touches a game?
There's a reason he's not on the field, right? Like, I you know, they're with him and they're watching game film. They're They have him at practice the past 2 years. They don't prefer him as a pass blocker to these other guys, or as a to Jamal Williams, of course, and or as a receiver to Ty Montgomery, which makes sense because he is a converted wide receiver. So it's logical that they would mix him in. They do say they want to run the ball more. I'm not sure that's smart because you have Aaron Rodgers, so you should be building your offense around the pass, especially if you have Aaron Rodgers. But it's going to be game script dependent for him. You know, I would like to see him get more carries, but that would mean I'd like to see the Packers win more. And if they're ahead and they have a chance to give the ball to their running backs 15, 20, 25 times, then yes, Jones will benefit from that.
Are there other running backs you sort of see on that sort of same tier where it's like they might be free agents right now, but whether it's because of injuries to come, whether it's because of their own health coming back, you see them sort of carving out roles for themselves over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a few. I mean, Deontay Foreman, I think, is a guy in Houston who's injured right now with the Achilles. He'll probably be back after their bye week. Lamar Miller has not impressed. We'll see how he does tonight, obviously, Thursday Night Football. But overall, his efficiency since being handed that job has not been particularly good. So he's a guy to keep an eye on. Going deeper, how about Josh Adams for Philly? I mean, we saw them give him a few more carries in week 7, and he looked good. I liked him a lot coming into the NFL. Best yards after contact rate in this class. I mean, that includes Saquon Barkley and Sony Michel. Think about how good this class was. He was the best at Notre Dame last season. Didn't get drafted, but the Eagles gave him a guaranteed undrafted free agent contract, and he's sticking around. I think he can play an expanded role going forward. So a couple sneaky guys to keep an eye on, I guess, right now.
How do you think the Raiders' backfield is going to break out after Marshawn Lynch went on injured reserve? Of course, Doug Martin is in the conversation, Jalen Richard as well. Anyone else do you think is going to play a part in that backfield?
Yeah, DeAndre Washington is a name to keep an eye on. Remember, he got 30-plus passes last season. He's kind of rotated with Jalen Richard behind Marshawn Lynch the past couple of years. Kind of just mixed in there. They give him, you know, a couple of targets here, a few carries, change of pace guy. Was really explosive as a rookie. Fell off a bit last year, and he's been a healthy scratch this season most of the year. Was hurt early on. Now he's been a healthy scratch. But if Martin doesn't work out, and let's be honest, Bill, there's a very good chance that Doug Martin is not going to pan out. His yards per carry the past three seasons, 2.9, 2.9, 3.7. You know, he doesn't catch many passes. Yeah, he does. He's taking a step forward. So if that doesn't work out, that's all they have left. They have Richard and Washington. And look, I kind of categorize Washington and Wendell Smallwood. Kind of similarly, they're kind of mid-round picks that year. They're a little undersized. They play a similar role. And we're seeing Smallwood in his third year take a big step forward in Philadelphia. A lot of that's opportunity-based, but he's been flashy at times. Maybe Washington gets that opportunity and gets 15 touches a game as the lead in Oakland, a team that wants to run the football, and finally breaks out. So again, in deeper leagues, you should be looking at DeAndre Washington.
Not even a guy for this year. What are your thoughts on Chris Warren heading into next season?
Yeah, well, his name's popped up a lot in the last couple of weeks, but remember, he's on IR, right. So just people listening. Some people have asked about him. He can't play this year, but I'm with you. He looked like I don't even want to say poor man's Marshawn Lynch. He looked like Marshawn Lynch in the preseason. The guy looks awesome. Again, not a guy that was super on my radar coming in, just kind of in that tier, maybe late round flyers. He went undrafted, but you can move the needle pretty quickly with a big explosive training camp or preseason, and he had done that. So I'm sure he'll get a shot next year. Maybe it's a situation like Chris Carson, where they bring somebody in as a lead back, whether it's Bell or Powell or, the list goes to Tevin Coleman, and Warren just comes in and kills it, and he takes that job back. So he's definitely a guy in deep dynasties to stash. And if you're falling out of it this year, it's time to start making trades for the future and pick up guys like Chris Warren.
Absolutely. So not necessarily guys who might have a path to starting roles, but maybe if there's an injury, if there's a player whose workload is decreased in the second half, is there a handcuff or two who you feel like stand out to you as sort of a guy to target who might be available for pretty cheap right now?
Yeah, and these are especially important as bye weeks wind down. Now we're getting to the weeks where there's six teams on a bye. I don't know if there's any eight. I think it's just six.
I think six
is the most. So you're probably going to need the roster depth during those weeks, but guys that I rotate in and off, on and off my bench, especially if I have an IR slot and like Sunday morning, I could throw a guy on IR and pick someone up. I'll pick up Rod Smith, for example. If Zeke goes down,
makes sense.
And he's been a little beat up too. If he goes down, Rod Smith jumps right into the RB1 conversation. They don't have anybody else, there right now. So that's one. CJ Anderson's behind Christian McCaffrey. Duke Johnson, he's not startable. He used to have standalone value, does not right now, but if Nick Chubb goes down, he'll have to play a big role.
Yes.
Chase Edmonds is behind David Johnson, Spencer Ware behind Kareem Hunt. Wayne Gallman is behind Saquon Barkley, and he's looked pretty good, better than I thought he'd be out of Clemson.
Yeah.
And then the tricky one's kind of the Rams, right? You're probably wondering, like, well, what happens if Gurley goes down? I think I'd be more likely to see a higher ceiling out of John Kelly.
Now, really?
They do a Malcolm Brown there, but Kelly probably is a higher ceiling. I think Brown has played enough that we see him as kind of an ordinary player, but you would add both of those guys. Brown might be the start the first week, but then Kelly, I think, would get a shot to emerge. So, yeah, it's a tricky one, but, you know, these guys, you throw them on the end of your bench, and especially think about all the injuries this year. I mean, running back has been brutalized again, just like every other year. One of the guys I just said will probably be a fantasy starter at some point. Maybe two or three of them the rest of the way.
Yeah, it's tough to pick one of them out of the bunch, but it's going to happen. I think just that aspect of like churning the bottom of your bench and just creating roster spots when you have guys who are not 100%, who might be able to go on IR for a week. Like, there's so much value in that because you only have to, like, there's such little risk. And if you just hit once, like, it's a game changer for your team.
No question. We've seen that with Latavius Murray, for example, this season. TJ Yeldon. These were, you know, in 12-team leagues, Murray was definitely a guy drafted late. TJ Yeldon, maybe in some. But again, pretty quickly, they become absolute studs for your team, or at least must starts each and every week. So you're no question about it.
How do you see that Jaguars running back situation breaking down after the bye when we presume, we can't be sure, but at least we presume Leonard Fournette is going to be back?
Yeah, you and I were talking off the air before the show about Carlos Hyde and how his value is on a roller coaster, right? So he was a reliable starter with Cleveland. He gets traded, and you're like, okay, there's short-term value here because he should be the lead back in this Jacksonville offense, and one that's allowed T.J. Yeldon to score a lot of points. But we all expect Leonard Fournette back after the bye. And when that happens, it's not going to be Fournette's the backup. You know, he's going to be the guy, and that's going to be crushing for Carlos Hyde's fantasy value. So Fournette goes on IR, which we don't expect to happen. Hyde will be an RB2 going forward. If he's back, Hyde is a handcuff, and his value takes a massive hit. He's a starter this week because Fournette's out for sure. You're going to start him in week 8. But, you know, I'd try to move him. If he could take advantage, maybe with bye weeks and injuries, somebody is desperate for running back help this week. Gordon's out, you know, was hurt and is on a bye. There's a lot of other good players on byes this week. Try to trade him to one of those teams and get something back.
Do you, in those scenarios, do you think there's some value in trying to target the person who already owns Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, absolutely. I do that all the time. If I end up with, you know, lucking my way into a handcuff that seems to have some value, I definitely go to those teams and see. You know, you don't just want to give them away because if that player gets hurt, we know running backs do, then suddenly you have yourself a valuable asset. But if you can get back a more reliable player or a second-round pick in your rookie draft or something like that, you should definitely shop around a little bit. But again, just to kind of cap that, you don't only have to, and this is kind of a mistake people make with handcuffing, you don't have to only retain your own handcuffs for your own players. Like if you're Fournette, you don't have to pick up that handcuff. You pick up, if you have Zeke, if you don't have Zeke, you could still pick up Rod Smith because if Zeke goes down, you're going to have yourself an asset. It's just, you know, something important to keep in mind.
Now, we've talked about this before, not on the air. You're in a lot of fantasy football leagues.
Yeah, way too many.
The number was?
Embarrassing. 17.
You know, okay, yeah, I was going to make you say it, but embarrassing would have been fine.
No, I'm just joking. Yes. It's because there are a lot of industry leagues. Sure. You know, they add up.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
It might be tough to answer. You may not want to embarrass someone on the other side of a trade. You don't need to give the team or the name. What was the best trade you've made in fantasy football so far this season?
This season? This one is very polarizing. We had fun with it. I've talked about it on shows, and we've done Twitter polls and everything. And I'll say it was Chris Burke, who we both know. He's at The Athletic now. He used to be at SI. Very good guy. What the most competitive league I've ever been in, 14-team dynasty. It's with a lot of the Roto World guys, Roto Pat, Evan Silva, Leviton, Menzi, you know, all them guys, Sigmund Bloom. Very competitive league. Actually, the rookie draft is like the NFL draft. Trades like almost every pick. It's just nonstop. It's an incredibly fun league. I have a very good team. So I traded, what did I trade away?
What are the rules? It's a 14-team PPR, FPR?
Yeah, PPR. Yeah, you can start upwards of 3 running backs or 5 receivers, one or 2 tight ends, a quarterback. It's like 9 starters. Pretty traditional league. But my team's very good. I traded, and I wish I had it in front of me, Mike Williams, Deontay Foreman, I think a 1 and a 2, and there was another player in there who I'm totally drawing a blank on. Not too much of an impact player. Oh no, it was and Russell Wilson.
Okay,
but I got back Wentz and Juju Smith-Schuster. So for me, I mean Juju Smith-Schuster right now, I don't think people are valuing him correctly. He's a he's what, 22 years old?
Right.
And he's playing at top 10. I mean, he is one of the top assets in Dynasty. So I was willing. Chris just kept upping the price, and I kept being like, okay, we'll keep going. Okay, I'll keep giving you more. So I will, it's going to be a late first round pick and a late second round pick and a 14 teamer. No problems there. Mike Williams, fine. He's, 2 years older than Juju and not nearly as productive. Mm-hmm. Deontay Foreman may never be the same guy. Mm-hmm. And I got Wentz for Wilson, which I like. I'm really worried about Wilson in that run-heavy offense. And to get Juju, I mean, that's huge. And it kind of polished off my roster, too, which is pretty loaded. So I'm 6-0 or 7-0 now, I guess.
Really? Right?
Going for the title. So
representing ESPN.
Oh yeah. Maybe that's why I love that league so much. My team's good.
ESPN represented.
I got a good, and I made some bad deals in that league too. You just hope you make more good ones than bad ones. I traded Brandon Cooks for the rights to the second overall pick the 1 year and took Kevin White, you know.
Kevin White is getting snaps now though.
A couple. He's playing like 6 a game or something. Like, he
caught
that Hail Mary.
I feel like he almost had that Hail Mary. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He got that one. Almost got in the end zone.
He's alive. Barely.
By the way, if you want someone to catch a Hail Mary at the one and get it in, it's like Kevin White, right? That guy's a beast.
Right. Like, I wouldn't ask him to play 50 snaps a game, but for one snap where he has to catch a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It works out.
He played 20 snaps last week against
the Patriots. It was 20 snaps? Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Robinson got hurt. That's what happened. Allen Robinson got hurt, right?
All right, Mike, let's get to some more players you might want to target on your fantasy teams in the second half of the season in a second. But first, I want to talk about our pals at ZipRecruiter. Now, of course, hiring for your company is typically not as easy as getting guys for your fantasy team. The good news is, with ZipRecruiter, it's honestly even easier. Because if I could use ZipRecruiter for fantasy football, I would in a heartbeat. Because the best thing about ZipRecruiter, it's not just that you can post your job in a reliable place that's going to find you good candidates. It's even better because ZipRecruiter finds the candidates for you. It's like having other teams make you great trade offers for the spot you need to fill in your fantasy football lineup. They are actively inviting the right people to apply for your job. And it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the United States. And you can think about ratings on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. ZipRecruiter is number one. That's why so many companies use ZipRecruiter. It's why I am sitting here today advising you to use ZipRecruiter yourself. You can use it for free today by going to this exclusive web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. My last name, Barnwell, ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell, ZipRecruiter.com/Barnwell. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now back to the show. In terms of the other wideouts who might be possible trade targets, obviously it's a little easier to find some usage for some of those guys, but is there a number one around the league you might look at where you say, okay, you're expecting him to get, whether it's more touches, whether it's more touchdowns in terms of the second half of the year?
There's quite a few I like, wide receiver guys that are, and, you know, kind of underperforming expectations based on their usage. So we post, the stat OFP, which I developed during the offseason. It shows you just the player's opportunity and it's not just touches. It's like where the targets are happening. Are they near the goal line? Are they deep downfield? You know, and for quarterbacks, are they running a lot? You know, it just tells you their expected fantasy point total. And Corey Davis, is a guy who has underperformed so far. And a part of that, I think, has been, I mean, the reason he shows up well is because his targets are massive. He's around a 30% target share. You love that for your fantasy wide receivers. But the matchups have been tough. Xavien Howard he's had a showdown with him, Casey Hayward, Tre'Davious White, who's one of the best in the NFL. We'll see how he does against Josh Gordon this weekend. Mm-hmm. He's played Baltimore and Jacksonville. They both have outstanding corner trios. I mean, he has had his hands full. So I think he'll bounce back. I mean, we saw him in a good matchup against Philadelphia. He put up 161 and a touchdown in that game. And past 54 yards in Houston and Miami. So I think their schedule is easier going forward. I think he bounces back. He's a guy for sure that I'm looking at.
Yeah, and I think it seems like Tennessee's passing game as a whole might have a little chance to improve after the bye week. Of course, their offensive line was banged up at tackle. Mm-hmm. Taylor Lewan really hasn't been healthy all year. And, I mean, it seems like every single week I watch them play, they either drop a 60-yard pass that would have been a touchdown, or they narrowly overthrow a 60-yard pass that should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, Tywan Taylor last week, right?
Tywan Taylor had one. Davis had one. Mm-hmm. Was the Taylor one the one where he got blocked by, like, the back judge?
Yes, yeah.
Was he credited with a pass defensed on that play at the back judge?
I think so. I think he got a half a point in fantasy.
Good for him. Yeah. But yeah, they had the Nick Williams, I think, had one, and then he got cut right afterwards. I could be wrong. But
he's on the Rams now, yeah.
Yes, there's been a few of them where they've had big plays. So there's plays to be had on that offense. And of course, it's a new scheme, new offensive coordinator. You would figure they're going to play better over the second half of the season on offense.
I think so. And it's kind of interesting. Last week, I noticed that they kind of look like the first quarter of the first game of the season against Miami, where you're mm-hmm. like, because I like Tennessee. I think on paper, they're very good.
Yes.
But the offense has not been good at all. They're averaging like a little over one touchdown a game. Mm-hmm. But that first quarter against Miami, they went down the field twice. One of those times, they got no points. One of them was like a Corey Davis drop in the end zone, and then the next one, something else happened. I forget what it was. I think it was another drop, or Davis got tackled short of the goal line, mm-hmm. something like that. But they were cruising against Miami right down the field, and then Mariota got hurt. Remember, they didn't have their tackles. It just started piling up, and the wheels fell off for about a month or so. So I'm optimistic about the roster talent there, but the execution has not been very good so far. If that offense gets going, they can mm-hmm. be good for sure. But Mariota, just keep chucking it to Corey Davis and we'll be fine. He'll regress to the mean for sure.
How did you mourn the end of the Marcus Mariota red zone stat?
Mariota
has not thrown, not thrown an interception until.
Well, you and I think about this differently, right? We're like, it's inevitable that it's coming. Like, people would look at that and say it's a skill, but to some extent it's being conservative, and mm-hmm. to some extent it's luck. I mean, look how good Tom Brady is at avoiding interceptions. Best interception rate in the league the past 5, 6, 7 years. And he's been picked off 6 times this year
mm-hmm.
because the balls are getting deflected. And I think 4 of them are deflections, where right into the receiver's hands. And there was a year Eli Manning went over 20 interceptions. Same thing. It was like, mm-hmm. as an Eagles fan, I'm watching a lot of NFC East games, and it's like, you almost feel bad for him. And this was like 10 years ago. But they just kept, bouncing off other people. Ridiculous deflections. They're going right to the defender. It's, mm-hmm. it's infuriating. So, with Mariota, it was inevitable. I'll look at it that way.
Mm-hmm. What about Stephon Diggs? You mentioned him. We were talking about this earlier in terms of possible receivers who might have an uptick over the second half of the year.
Yes, sometimes it's like, okay, everyone knows Diggs is good, right? He's a great fantasy asset. We know that, but you want to try and you still can try to take advantage of guys playing above their heads and, mm-hmm. and great players being, below and try to make it. That's the time you want to swoop in and make a trade, not after a big game, after a bad game. He's had exactly 33 receiving yards in back-to-back games, but he has 19 targets. In those two games, he's hit double digits in 5 of his past 6 games. His 25% target share is a career high. Mm-hmm. I mentioned OFP before. He's 8th at wide receiver in that category, and he's the number 10 scoring fantasy receiver despite kind of slumping a little bit as mm-hmm. of late. So, I think it's a time to try and take advantage with everyone so focused on Adam Thielen. It's probably your last chance to get him mm-hmm. before he really explodes, and maybe even against New Orleans this week. He's probably going to draw a lot of Marshawn Lattimore, but Lattimore has kind of taken a step back this year.
I wonder, if you were the Saints, would you put Lattimore on Diggs or would you put him on Thielen at this point?
I think it has to be Diggs because Lattimore is not a guy that's a full-time, or he doesn't go to the slot much. Right. Thielen runs from the slot 60% of the time. So Lattimore did shadow Thielen in the playoffs last season, but it was a little different dynamic. They had Jarius Wright and he was in the slot and Thielen and Diggs were on the outside. Diggs, believe it or not, was actually shadowed by Ken Crawley in that game, mm-hmm. and he still caught that long touchdown on Lattimore. It just sometimes it works out that way if they're in a zone or coverages. Maybe Thielen was inside on that play, something like that. So,
we'll talk about some guys you might want to trade away later on, but we'll talk about it now. Would you trade Adam Thielen right now if you had him and got a reasonable offer?
I've thought about this one too. I would not just immediately decline anything. I would hear it out. I think for the reasons I just said, when a guy is at their max value, that means they're at their max value. They're not going up any higher. And can they stay? Can Thielen stay where he is so far? It's tough to say. I think he'll come down a little bit. Again, mm-hmm. I think he's playing at his ceiling right now. But he is still a 30%+ target share player. He's one of the best talents in the league right now. He's in one of the pass heaviest offenses in the NFL, mm-hmm. and he runs from the slot, which is so underrated in terms of an asset for a player mm-hmm. because they're running routes against linebackers and safeties and a team's third best corner, because number one corners, it's kind of a market inefficiency in the NFL. Number one corners don't really go to the slot unless you're like Chris Harris or Patrick Peterson sometimes, mm-hmm. Darius Slay maybe a few times a game. It almost never happens. So those guys stick outside. So I think Thielen will be great the rest of the way. So you don't have to trade him, but maybe you get offered 2-3 studs. I mean, it'd be hard to turn down.
Yeah. I mean, he's catching 75% of his targets so far, 117 yards per game. I mean, it's impressive, but even if he takes a step backwards, he's still going to be a pretty valuable wide receiver, even if he's 90% right. of the guy he's been so far. Any other sort of second-tier receivers who you think might have an opportunity, depending on what happens with the rest of their roster? You know, if there's a trade of some of the veterans on the roster who might carve out a bigger role in the second half?
Yeah, I think you look at a couple of rookies. You know, Courtland Sutton is a guy to look
Absolutely.
At. If they do, in fact, trade Demaryius Thomas, then Sutton will be the number two. You'll have Emmanuel Sanders, which he's been rumored to be a trade.
For sure.
A guy who could get traded as well. So, but if one is shipped out, Sutton will play a bigger role in the perimeter. Deshaun Hamilton in deeper leagues, watch him. They like him a lot. He would be the slot in this scenario. You'd see Sanders move outside, which would probably hurt him a little bit. So that's a guy. I think Sutton's an end-to-bench player to keep on your roster. And keep in mind, you want to do that before this week because most waivers are going to clear Tuesday night, and the deadline is Tuesday afternoon, so get him on your roster before the weekend kicks off. So I would look at him. I think DJ Moore is target. This may not have trade implications, but you know, he's been seeing a larger target share, and if they kind of expand his role in Carolina, especially with Torrey Smith hurt, that could be a guy as well to keep an eye on.
Deshaun Hamilton does have a knee injury, doesn't he? Like a minor knee injury?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know that's going to keep him out long term, right. But again, that could be.
That's a dynasty play, though.
Yeah. What's going to be interesting about Denver is they need to upset Kansas City this week for sure. If they don't do that and they fall back to two games below 500, they're probably going to be sellers at the deadline. I mean, come on. Do you really think you're going to beat Kansas City or New England and win the Super Bowl with Case Keenum? I think they're probably going to be looking to sell. Maybe Chris Harris, too. Again, as an Eagles fan, I would love Chris Harrison would be a perfect fit for that team. They need a number one corner and a slot for sure.
That's a lot of teams who could use Chris Harris. Absolutely.
No doubt.
Is there a spot you think about in terms of real life football, in terms of Demaryius Thomas? Is there a spot where you'd like to see him end up in terms of possibly maximizing his value over the next year?
I think you could throw Philly in there for sure. I don't think he's the best fit because any more of a Deshaun Jackson, he'd be the perfect fit there, a speed guy. I think that would be a great fit. You kind of put me on the spot here.
I apologize.
Thinking about it.
I was thinking about it as well, and I'm like, well, Michael have a good answer. I think there's a lot of possibilities that would make sense for him. You think about a team like even the Patriots where you wouldn't be expecting him to be like, you know, even an every down player for them by any means, but you know, they have Josh Gordon, and certainly Josh Gordon is going to have some of those reps, but just as like a bigger body, you know, Chris Hogan is sort of that guy, but not really. I feel like just giving them sort of a physical target. I don't think the Browns are competitive enough to really go after him, but I think he would be a fit there in terms of a good sort of contrast to Jarvis Landry maybe, but.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it as you're talking, like maybe New Orleans with Ted Ginn and IR. I like Traquan Smith, so I hope they don't. But Washington, I mean, they're right now probably the favorites in the NFC East with the Eagles kind of slumping. They have to beat Jacksonville this week to get back into it. They are terrible at receiver. That would be a good fit. And we know Dan Snyder's not afraid to make aggressive moves. And maybe Carolina, you know, especially if Torrey Smith ends up out for a while, that could be a team to look at. So, yeah, there's definitely some teams out there that'll be interested in and are contenders.
All right, let's talk about some players you might want to trade away and some difficult second half scenarios after the break here on the Bill Barnwell Show. Back here on the Bill Barnwell Show, I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN. I'm joined by ESPN's Mike Clay. We're talking about some fantasy players you wanted to acquire in the first half of the show. Let's flip it now, of course. Talk about some players you might consider trading away for the second half of the season. We didn't talk about many quarterbacks in the first half of the show. So let's talk about some quarterbacks who might be overvalued heading into the second half of the season.
Yeah, and again, sometimes, and we talked about this in the first half of the show, sometimes it's just about taking advantage while a guy is at his ceiling, right? It doesn't mean they're going to be bad players going forward and that you have to scramble to get away from it. And that is the case for Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers. Matt Ryan is second in fantasy points right now, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's where he finished a couple of years ago in 2016 behind Aaron Rodgers when he had that great season. But he sits eighth in OFP, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So in terms of opportunity, it hasn't been there to the extent of some of these other quarterbacks, but the efficiency has been off the charts. You know, because they're struggling, I don't think enough people are giving him attention. Like he's, unlike 16, he's not in the MVP race by any means because the team's struggling, but his efficiency has been not too far off where it was back in 2016. So he's a guy, again, that could come back to earth a little bit. That's what OFP says. over time, guys tend to regress to the mean. We saw that with Ryan last year.
Sure.
I think he'll come down a little bit. And same thing with Rivers. He is fourth in fantasy points at quarterback. This one's more severe.
Mm-hmm.
He's QB 18 in OFP. Yeah. So he's banking. You think about those long passes like Tyrell Williams that he's hitting on. Mm-hmm. I think there was one to Travis Benjamin early in the season. Mike Williams has caught a lot of improbable plays downfield. He's been throwing a lot of short passes that Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler have taken a long way.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to sustain over a long span. And we've seen that with Rivers in the past. I mean, he's 38 points over his OFP right now, which is, I mean, you look back at the past 5-6 years, he's almost never close to that over a full season. In fact, mm-hmm. he's been negative a few times. So Rivers is a guy with this, along with this offense, probably going to come down a little bit. But, you know, I say that a little bit like unsure of myself because the league is changing, right? Like mm-hmm. the baseline for the league is a little different than it was even last season, when we actually took a step back in terms of offense, and this year we're on pace to set a lot of records. So, but nonetheless, I think those are two guys that kind of add up to maybe coming back to earth a little bit going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about this a lot on Twitter, but as much as that red zone offense struggled in week one with the Falcons, they've been great, almost improbably so, in the red zone since then.
You know what the difference is? They stopped going to Julio. They were forcing it to him all last season. He was near the top in terms of usage near the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Week one of the top in terms of usage near the goal line. Since that point, he's like 100th or something. Like, he's not even close. That's honestly what has been different. And it's so bizarre, but that's been the scenario.
I wasn't going to bring Julio up. Do you have any thoughts about Julio's touchdown percentage?
I do. You know, I talk often about how important volume is, and mm-hmm. there's nothing really more important. And if he stops getting that's what I kind of said in the offseason, mm-hmm. right? As long as the volume stays the same as last year, he'll start scoring touchdowns. Right. If they go away from him again, he won't. And they have mm-hmm. gone, not only have they gone away from him a little bit, they've completely gone away from him near the goal line. He has like 2 end zone targets since week one. So that's the issue. It's mm-hmm. it's really that simple. I spent the offseason talking about how he was going to score more. And I still think he'll score a handful going forward, but there's always going to be that thing, that outlier, that 1% mm-hmm. that we're just, it's going to defy the odds. It's going to break the system. It's going to break numbers. And it's that. I mean, that's one of the top 3 things in that category from the past 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane how that's happened with all the volume he has seen.
Here's the thing, though. Like, even if you, let's say you drafted Julio expecting some kind of scoring regression towards the mean, it's still fine. Julio's still playing really well. Like, you're not missing out too much in terms of his production. He's mm-hmm. got 812 yards in 7 games.
Yeah, he's just being nice. I mean, like, he would break fantasy football if he started scoring touchdowns because it wouldn't be fair, right? He would be, you know, but he's sitting 7th in right. fantasy points. He's been top 16 4 out of 7 weeks. I mean, and yeah, like you said, he doesn't even score touchdowns. He's 0 touchdowns, and he's the number 7 scoring receiver. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Do you have any thoughts on Christian McCaffrey as well? Someone who has one touchdown so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, certainly with his volume, he should have more. You know, I'm pulling up his OTD, which is...
It seems like the issue is really just that Cam gets so many touches within mm-hmm. the 5-yard line. So I wonder if he might be a candidate for someone who, even though the numbers say he's likely to improve, it might be tough to actually get that sort of usage.
Yeah, 2. His OTD is 2. So it's his expected fantasy, or his expected touchdown total based on his usage is 2. He has 1 carry inside the 5, 1 end zone target. So, yeah, I mean, that you should consider that a bit of an issue. He should have more touchdowns mm-hmm. for sure. And in fact, they've actually have their bye, so this is misleading. But even with the bye, he's number 11 in OFP. So we know he's getting a lot of usage. He's getting more carries mm-hmm. than he's had in recent years. He's 45 targets, so still an RB1, but yeah, it's probably not a guy that's going to score you a ton of touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Well, might come back eventually. You know, I think it's unlikely, just given, like you said, the usage is not touchdown driven necessarily. It's not he's not being used in a way that is likely to maximize his touchdown potential.
Yeah,
but ton of touches there, obviously doing really well even without the scores. Is there a back who sort of in the top level who you think is most likely to regress just given his touchdown percentage?
Yeah, I think Melvin Gordon fits that list. And we've already talked about the Chargers again. And again, he's getting a lot of volume. You love that. I'm not saying you need to get rid of him right mm-hmm. now. He's 5th in running back OFP per game. So he's still going to deliver mid to front end RB numbers. But again, maybe it's a time where you can get a couple of good pieces back for him, including a Christian McCaffrey and something else that could be mm-hmm. a starter, you know? So you can kind of work your way through them scenarios and feel it out. But again, average weekly finish of 5.5. The guy has been fantastic. Third in fantasy points at running back. He has 9 touchdowns, but again, 4.7 OTD. That's that 4.3 gap between his touchdowns and OTD is the largest in the NFL. So he's the most improbable touchdown total. Only 2 carries inside the 5, and 3 inside the 10. So, I mean, he's seen a lot of targets inside the 10, which is bizarre. 10 targets inside the 10 and his 3 touchdowns, but that's all a concern. 3 carries inside the 10. You tell me how a running back is going to keep up this touchdown pace of almost 20. He's on pace for about 20 this season. That's going to be hard.
Does seem unlikely. He had on 132 catches over his first 3 years, 6 touchdowns as a receiver. This year, 30 receptions overall, 3 touchdowns, of course, like you mentioned. So it's tough to see him keeping that element of his game up. And, of course, he is still struggling with that hamstring injury. That sort of limited him a little bit. Would you be optimistic about Austin Eckler's chances of his role improving or continuing to increase as the second half goes along?
I think he's a good player. Again, it's hard to count on those big plays. You know, it's kind of the same kind of thing with Albert Wilson, right? Like hitting those long runs and long catch and runs for touchdowns. It's going to be hard to sustain that, but I think Eckler's a good player. You know, he's a guy in his role can average about 5 yards a carry, and they've really made it a point to throw them the football a lot more. The targets to the running backs have been a big difference between past years, especially, again, near the goal line, which, as mentioned, Gordon, 10 targets inside the 5 helps explain why he's catching more touchdowns.
Right.
But, I think it's a very good offense. They're the only team in the league that scored 3-plus touchdowns in every game offensively. So it's very good. They're hitting their stride. They're obviously loaded with talent. The offensive line should just keep improving, especially if they get Forrest Lamp in there. So, I think Eckler will kind of flirt with flex numbers going forward.
Makes sense. Do you think Keenan Allen is going to continue to be angry and kick the continue to kick elements of the football field in frustration?
Well, I mean, he clearly started himself in fantasy. It was very evident based on his reaction. That's what we were all doing when he did not get the touchdown. You know, if you see your guy you have in fantasy wide open and he doesn't get the football, like Odell Beckham, what was that Monday night when he, or was that a 2-pointer or was that a?
No, it was touchdown earlier. I think
he was running, right? And Shermer was like, why didn't you throw to Odell? Yeah.
Yes, it happens like to the best of us.
We're all saying that too. If we have him in fantasy, we're like, what are you doing?
I keep a pylon in my living room just for kicking purposes.
There you go. That's smart.
For that exact reason.
I'm actually surprised we didn't talk about that 2-point decision. That's if you really want to trigger people, that's a fun discussion. Have you covered that this week yet?
We have not.
Should we just leave it as it was the right decision?
I think the Monday Night Football folks are doing a great job. I don't think I concur with their viewpoint on the 2-point decision.
In fairness, by the end of the broadcast, I think someone gave them a heads up that's a long-standing, I don't want to say theory because it's kind of proven it's the right decision, but they were filled in. So yeah, you're right. They're doing a great job. But it wasn't just them. I mean, it's just, it was the popular reaction was to say, it's new, it's different, and it's wrong. But it's definitely, again, this isn't like we were like, oh, let's calculate the numbers really quick when it happened. This is a long-standing thing, right, that you should be doing that. So,
yeah. And Doug Peterson had done it, what, the week before?
Yep. I think it was 2 weeks before. They had the week before the Giants game, I want to say. Yeah, when they were losing, right? So, Pat Shurmur even admitted after, you know, he said in his presser, he brought it up and knew that it was going to be a question that they saw that the Eagles did that and they talked about it. And there's people way smarter than me and you on these analytics teams that these teams have studying this stuff. And you're going to see this more in the NFL now.
For sure.
Aside of the stubborn coaches, you will see this more for sure.
Absolutely. All right, Mike, let's talk about more fantasy topics here in a second. But first, I want to talk about our sponsors today, Hotel Tonight, which is an app I'm using pretty much every single day, whether I'm booking travel for work here at ESPN, whether I'm booking personal travel, going on a trip, going on a vacation. And the best part is, in the past, I used to use it for stays the night I needed to get somewhere, which was great. It was helpful when I needed the room. But now, it's even better because you can use Hotel Tonight's app. You can use HotelTonight.com. for stays up to 100 nights in advance. So I'm planning a vacation for after the football season. I want to get out of the cold here in New York. I'm going to go somewhere warm. And you better believe the first place I am going to look is on Hotel Tonight for a good deal, because they're getting you the best possible deals for hotel rooms that would otherwise go unused. These hotels want to get you in. They're going to offer you a cheaper rate. Hotel Tonight is going to get you those rates. They're going to get you reviews, so you know you're getting a hotel that you want, whether it's a luxury hotel, whether it is a cheaper hotel, which I'm not going to lie, I am a bargain shopper. I want a place that is safe and comfortable to stay. Hotel Tonight's going to give me that at a very, very solid price. So start getting really great deals at great hotels and go to hoteltonight.com or download the app now. Now back to the show. In terms of receivers who you might think are likely to decline over the final few weeks of the year, you know, obviously we're still to know who's going to get traded, who's not going to get traded, but guys who come to mind for you?
Yeah, and I guess both of these guys I'm going to mention could be traded. Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas is more likely to, but Sanders considered to be a possibility, DeSean Jackson being the other. And I'll start with Sanders here. Just his production so far has been unsustainable for a few reasons. He's the number three scoring fantasy receiver.
Wow.
16th in OFP, though, and there's a few reasons for this. First of all, you look at touchdowns. He has five. His OTD is 2.3. So, again, you would expect, based on his usage, he'd be between two and three receiving touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And he's been targeted only three times inside the six-yard line. And his three touchdowns have required post-catch runs of 8, 17, and 26 yards. That is really, really hard to achieve, to catch the football from that far away and run all three of them in. And then you add on a 28-yard touchdown pass and a 35-yard touchdown run. The only two touchdowns, Bill, he's ever scored that weren't catches in his career. The odds of him hitting either one of those going forward is pretty close to zero. He's also averaging 10.1 yards per target, and he's caught 77% of his targets, both career high marks. And again, probably unsustainable considering he's in his early 30s. So Sanders is a guy that in many, many ways is likely to come back to earth.
Let me play devil's advocate.
Okay.
Emmanuel Sanders may also be the best quarterback the Broncos have.
Touche.
So he might, the passing might not progress. I mean, he may be a viable target passer for them.
Yeah, maybe they'll
play per game.
Put him in the Taysom Hill role there, right? In New Orleans, speaking of somebody stealing touches, I don't think he's attempted a pass yet. I think that they're waiting for that.
That's Hill? Crazy.
I mean, this season, right? He's been running the ball a lot. I don't think he's thrown one. I could be wrong about
that. I'm going to look it up. I don't remember a pass. He's 1-for-2 for 10 yards.
Oh, so yeah. All right. Never mind.
So he's thrown two passes. But
I guess he hasn't had a big play as a passer.
Okay. He's had 18 carries as a runner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really remarkable because it's just like, has there ever been a guy, or at least a guy in recent memory, who was used in that role?
Joe Webb, but not to that extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen Webb come in, and occasionally guys come in, like Lamar Jackson, I guess, kind of fits the bill, but not to this extent. You know, he's stealing. He is full-on vulturing from Kamara and Ingram. I'm more worried about that for Kamara than I am, like, Ingram. You know, Hill is stealing goal line work. That is problematic, but... And he's not, like, this isn't some 22, 23-year-old coming into the league. He's almost 30, so they're just, I think he's 28, right? Is he 28?
He's definitely older than a typical rookie.
I don't know that he has a future as a full-time starter. I know they love him down there, but it's more of a returner, special teamer, a gadget player on offense. It's a really interesting development.
Any other wideouts you think are likely to take a step backwards?
Oh, yeah. I mentioned DeSean. The concern here is just playing time. The same concern we've had with Chris Godwin most of this season. This past game, we saw a little bit of a changing of the guard. We'll see if it actually is or if it was just this week we're going to go with Godwin, and next week it'll be back to DeSean. But Godwin ran 40 routes. Jackson was down to 29 and was targeted only four times. So if he's more of a situational player now, that's going to be a problem. They still like... Adam Humphrey's in the slot. You have Mike Evans, whose targets have been down a little bit. O.J. Howard's healthy now. You have a lot of guys to get the football to. And honestly, I think it would be better in so many ways if DeSean got traded at the deadline. I don't know if they're going to do that. But,
to who, Mike? Who do you like?
I mentioned Philly before. I did mention the Eagles before, which would be a perfect fit for the Eagles offense. For DeSean, for consistent playing time, it would improve his fantasy value. It would improve the Eagles team. And it would improve the fantasy stock of Chris Godwin, and we all want that.
Yes.
We all want Chris Godwin to be a full-time player because the guy looks like a potential star in this league, much like Kenny Golladay, who's getting the reps in Detroit.
Absolutely. Do you want to see, for your Eagles, would you be happy about a combo reunion of DeSean Jackson and Shady McCoy?
Just in a football sense, sure. I think it would be just purely football on the McCoy side of this anyway. It would probably help the team a little bit. For at wide receiver, yeah, DeSean for sure. I think that would be huge. They had Torrey Smith as the deep threat last year. This year they had Mike Wallace. He's hurt. They haven't been able to fill out. Jordan Matthews is not the answer there. So I think that would be huge. It allows them the splash plays, and it opens up Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar, Zach Ertz, that would be big for them. So I would say that. But they have a lot of voids to fill. You know, you weren't in that. We did the roundtable, the NFL experts roundtable mm-hmm. we do every week. And my proposed trade was Carl Joseph and Gary and Conley for a 3 and a 7 to Philadelphia, which, you know, might be a little less than Oakland's willing to take. But, you know, they need secondary help. They mm-hmm. need a perimeter receiver, maybe a running back, which should be lowest of priority. But
the good thing about the Raiders is that you can ask Reggie McKenzie, and if he says no, then you can ask John Gruden, and then you can go the other one.
And you can probably lowball and get something.
You can probably negotiate them off of one
another.
Although
I'll give him credit. Getting a 1 for Cooper, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
But what do you think about the Cooper trade in terms of how he's going to fit in Dallas? I mean, the part that I worried about when I was writing about it earlier this week is that you think about Amari Cooper over the last 2 years, especially that big game last year, he really did his best work out of the slot. And then you think about the Cowboys offense, think about what's really clicked for them over the last 2 weeks in the passing game. It's been Cole Beasley, who we know is a slot receiver. So how do you think the Cowboys sort of structure that offense now that they've added Amari Cooper?
I think he fills right in like Dez did. You know, I'm curious to see if he'll get close to the 7 to 9 targets per game that Dez was seeing. And remember, Dez was a fringe top 25 fantasy receiver last year with that volume, even mm-hmm. though he was horribly inefficient. And that's been a trend for Cooper, too. I mean, the efficiency's been poor. In fact, I spent the whole offseason saying, listen, whenever I was asked about Cooper, I'd say, listen, this is probably worst-case scenario Dez Bryant 2017 in Oakland. You know, he's just going to be force-fed the football. That's what they said they were going to do. They haven't, but they said they were going to. And the efficiency will be bad unless he just gets much better and Derek Carr gets much better, mm-hmm. Or it's going to be a disaster. Right. But I still thought they'd force feed him. That hasn't been the case. Now he goes literally to Dez Bryant's shoes in that Cowboys offense. It's very run heavy. That's gonna hurt him for sure. The defense is good enough to keep games close. So I think they're going to be able to run the ball and build this O around Zeke Elliott. So, I'm not loving him in fantasy by any means. I think he can get you wide receiver 3 numbers. Obviously it hurts Michael Gallup, which is unfortunate. I was hoping he just started playing a full-time role.
Right.
I was hoping he would develop into their one, but, in the meantime, they're gonna take a shot here with Cooper. So again, kind of, you know, fringe top 30, maybe mm-hmm. 35 receiver.
Does it move the needle for you with Dak at all? Who, I mean, has been a quarterback too so far this year. Think he kind of stays in the same space?
Yeah. Again, it's just especially with the league trending towards so much offense and passing this year, we're seeing an uptick in pass rate as well. We're not seeing that from Dallas. They still want to run the football. That's going to cap Dak for sure. If he starts running a lot, you know, like Mitch Trubisky and Deshaun Watson and Cam Newton, although Watson's has dropped off a little since that injury. But, mm-hmm. you know, if he keeps running the football, that'll help keep his fantasy stock up. But I don't think Cooper is going to be enough to make him a QB1 with the way that that offense is built. Mm-hmm.
Let's finish up just thinking about some of the schedules here over the next few weeks heading into the fantasy postseason. I mean, are you someone who, at this point of the year, are you thinking about, okay, let me go out and try and target players who I think are going to have easy schedules week 14, week 15, week 16?
I'll keep it in mind, especially looking at the fantasy playoffs, right? You don't want to get stuck necessarily with guys who are playing brutal schedules like, oh, great, it's week 16, my championship's on the line, and my best player is facing Jalen Ramsey and AJ Boye this week. That's terrible. So you definitely keep that in mind, explore that, consider it when you're making trades. But don't go too nuts, right? You know, what are the odds that most players are not going to have 3 horrible matchups during the fantasy playoffs. Mm-hmm. And if it's a player, you know, most players that are getting a lot of volume and are highly talented that are in lineups are still going to get theirs in, mm-hmm. in matchups. It's only really the severe ones that you have to watch out for.
Is there a player or two or a team or two who you're really worried about just in terms of having that sort of nightmare week 14, 15, 16? Schedule?
Well, I'll say an easy one, the Ravens. I mean, Baltimore has a very easy, I'm pulling it up here as I'm talking, but.
Ravens are at Kansas City week 14, hosting Tampa week 15, at Chargers week 16.
You memorize that, or are you just looking at it? There you go. That's 3 defenses that have struggled badly. Yeah. And you look at their schedule going forward. It doesn't just apply to the fantasy playoffs. Carolina, Pittsburgh, the bye, then they have Cincinnati, Oakland, Atlanta, KC, Tampa Bay, and the Chargers. They mm-hmm. week 17, if you play, they have Cleveland. So, yeah, I mean, they're set up beautifully. That is a lot of matchups you're mouth watering for if you have fantasy assets. John Brown, Michael Crabtree have mm-hmm. been terrific. The running backs are back and forth. Joe Flacco is a fringe QB1 because of these matchups going forward. So Baltimore's the team with the easiest schedule. Carolina, Arizona, Denver, Oakland, they are the next 4 in line. Those are my top 5 teams. And let's be honest, those five don't really jump out in terms of fantasy relevance. You know, maybe Carolina to some extent, but, you know, these are some borderline players that could end up fantasy relevant. And Arizona's probably interesting, right? OC change, Byron Leftwich is in there, perhaps Christian Kirk, Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson bounce back, maybe Ricky Seals-Jones in a weak tight end group. You know, these are guys that could jump onto the radar. So, and we talked about Cortland Sutton earlier too. Denver's on this list. So definitely some interesting names. Martavis Bryant for Oakland. Another one there. He should play a bigger role. So
absolutely. The Cardinals are hosting Detroit. They're at Atlanta, which has been just a fun house of points.
Yes.
And then hosting the Rams week 16. And that might not be a full strength Rams team at that point. That could be a Rams team that has been sitting some guys for the postseason. So could be an interesting buy low opportunity with David Johnson there in Arizona. Now, flip side of things, of course, are there schedules that really worry you amongst players who are likely to be fantasy, who are likely to be impactful fantasy players heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, this one's interesting. You look at the Colts schedule going forward and you're like, that is an easy schedule, right? It looks, it's arguably the easiest schedule going forward from an NFL standpoint. From a fantasy standpoint, it's arguably the hardest because it's so heavy on teams with good defenses and poor offenses. And here is that schedule. Oakland this week, then you go to a bye, then it's Jacksonville. Tennessee, who, again, offense has struggled. Defense has been good there in Tennessee.
Very good.
Miami, same kind of thing. Defense has been better than expected. Jacksonville and Houston, two of the best right now. Dallas, one of the best defenses in the league. And then the Giants in week 16. Again, week 17 is Tennessee. So that is a very tough slate from a fantasy perspective. As somebody invested in Andrew Luck, who, again, he didn't pay up too much for him. He was a mid-late-round pick, so you'll love that. It could be a little tricky for him. So you're going to have to navigate that, maybe stream quarterbacks. Think about this on a week-to-week basis for T.Y. Hilton as well. The tight end should be okay in these matchups, maybe touchdowns a little bit. But I'm not going to panic too much because that offense is forced to throw a lot and Luck is terrific. I think they'll be okay. But that's something to consider. And then behind them, it's the Eagles, the Redskins, the Texans, and the Lions. Those are the top five in terms of toughest schedules.
Yeah, the Eagles, of course, so many players on that team, even if they don't make the trades we were talking about, who are fantasy relevant. And they are at the Cowboys, who you said, very underrated defense. It's really impressed this year. At the Rams, more likely to be a competitive game there, and the Rams have been very impressive on defense. And then the Texans and their great pass rush.
That's the fantasy playoffs. Oh, that's tough. I mean, you got to think about that. You have Wentz, Alshon, Ertz. To some extent, Ertz should be okay, but...
I mean, is that something where you... Do you take that to an extent where you are thinking about trading those guys away, or is it more just like, you know, is it the tiebreaker if you're looking at two guys who you think are at similar value?
I would consider trading. I mean, do you really want to start? Do you want Wentz to be your guy there? And it depends on your league. If you're in a 10-teamer or you're in a league that doesn't value quarterbacks too much and Phillip Rivers and Big Ben end up on waivers during their buys, which I'm in a few of those, maybe not as common in casual leagues, but you know, you're okay. You could stream that. You can even drop Wentz after the Redskins game in week 14 and find someone else for the next 3 weeks to make your playoff run if you're in the playoffs. So, it depends on your league.
Would you be would you do that hoping that someone picks up Wentz without realizing how tough their schedule is?
Well, if they're in the playoffs, they probably are a little, probably have a decent quarterback situation.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. You always have that battle between like casual and competitive leagues, but, yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, if you have if you're playing someone, like if I'm playing this week and I happen to be playing the guy with Drew Brees, I'm like, at least I got him when he's at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, like you certainly think that way. Absolutely.
Well, I think that covers it, Mike. I mean, is there anyone who you're itching to talk about at this point who we have not discussed who you feel like, how can I phrase this? Is there someone who in week 16, you're going to be sitting here in the back of your head saying, man, I wish I'd talked about that person in week 8 because I had a feeling, even though the numbers didn't say it, even though the situation didn't seem right, I just had a feeling that he was going to get a chance and really impress?
No.
That's fine.
To be honest,
no is a totally valid answer question.
I got off the top of my head, I'm trying to even think of like a young player who could emerge, right? You know, right now we have a pretty good feel where guys fall right on the board. You could certainly look ahead and see who the receiver cornerback matchups are going to be. For example, like you mentioned, New England plays Buffalo, like they're playing them this week in week 16. So, hey, see how Josh Gordon does against Tre'Davious White this week. You know, if he does struggle and get shut down, keep in mind, if you have Gordon week 16, he's going to face Tre'Davious White again, barring an injury to either party. So I mean, you could start thinking about that and looking ahead. Off the top of my head, though, you know, you just, by the way, you mentioned it. You just did a column on this, you know, the impact it could have if the Rams are resting players. You think about that. You know, I think the Rams schedule the next couple months is tough, and they're going to lose a few, and they'll be competing for that one seed. So, they'll probably be a full go. But, you know, you think about that with guys like Robert Woods, who one of the most underrated players in the league, and Brandon Cooks and Cooper Kupp, obviously. So, you know, factor that kind of stuff in. But yeah, I don't think I have anything else to fire off my hip. But there will be a lot of guys we're not even thinking about who are fantasy relevant that week because of injuries. Just running back gets brutalized by that spot, and guys will work their way up the depth chart.
How much easier do you think it was to win fantasy leagues 20 years ago than it is now?
Oh, so much. It was easier 10 years ago. Right. I mean, I'm fortunate I got into the industry when I did because there's people way smarter than me that have followed along. I don't want to say my footsteps, like have followed behind me and, and approach this from an analytical standpoint with all this new data coming in. They've just been doing terrific work, just some brilliant minds out there. So I'm lucky I got in when I did. Because, yeah, it's a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher these days to get an edge.
Just imagine taking the information you have now and taking it back to, like, 1994.
Yeah.
You would win every league you were in.
Yeah, you would never. I mean, there's still, yeah, you would win most. There's always, variance has always been here, and it will never go, it will never go away. People don't want to hear that, Bill, as you know. You got to be perfect or you're a fool. But if you ask Twitter anyway, but yeah, it's an overload at times, but it's fun to navigate for sure.
The good thing, I promise you, Mike Clay, whenever you're on the show, we will never ask Twitter.
Yes.
About overcoming variance. This is the reality of the NFL, the reality of a short season, the reality of fantasy football, and the reality of real football. But Mike, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Where can people check out more of your work on fantasy and on the NFL as a whole?
ESPN, make sure you get ESPN Plus. I mean, if you don't have that by now, what are you doing? It's not just a lot of my work, but just fantastic content there. You get all the insider content, the video, the mag. I mean, you get everything. So there at Mike Clay NFL on Twitter, Fantasy Football Now Sunday mornings, SportsCenter Sunday evenings. Man, we had Chris Berman back
over
on
the place.
We had Chris Berman on Sunday. That was cool. Have him back in the doing some primetime-esque highlights. Seat. So that was a lot of fun to do that SportsCenter with him. And so, yeah, keep him busy.
Tremendous. Yeah. Well, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir. We'll have you back on later on in the year. Maybe around the fantasy playoff time, we'll have you on to discuss Julio Jones's incredible touchdown breakout.
And I can be like,
in five games.
Yes, exactly. I could be like, see, I told you to pick up Rod Smith, who's still playing three snaps a game because Zeke's never going to get hurt. But, it's always fun, Bill.
I'm not going to root for Zeke to get hurt, but I root for you to be right all the time. Thank you, sir.
Much appreciated. Thanks.
All right. Thanks so much to ESPN's Mike Clay for hopping on the show today. Hey, I realize I should probably ask people to do this more frequently. I'm not what you would call a skilled podcast host. If you like the show, if you happen to listen to it, hey, subscribe to it wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, the ESPN app, wherever else you're listening to podcasts, you know where you're listening to it. I don't need to list it for you. Check it out. Subscribe to it there. Rate and review. If you gave us a nice positive review, I wouldn't hate you for it. I'm not going to pull some tactics like other podcasts that involve guests on the Bill Barnwell Show who are launching new podcasts. I'm not going to give you anything for it, I guess. Maybe I should now that I'm saying that out loud, but I'm just going to appreciate it. I will thank you on Twitter if you point it out to me. I'll say that much, but of course, if you want to support the show, the best way to do it is to rate and review and hook up with our sponsors, of course, as well. More audio coming next week. Thanks so much for listening.